This morning I've entitled my sermon, and I want you to notice the title, The Will of God for You. The Will of God for You. You know, every Christian should seek the will of God for their life. If someone comes up to you and say, hey, I've had a revelation from God. God has told me what His will is for your life. In many cases, that would be a big help. I know there's been times in my life where I wish somebody would have come up to me and said, hey, Daryl, you're wondering about this thing. You're trying to make this decision. God's revealed it to me. This is His will for your life. I have people that come up to me all the time and ask the question, how can I find God's will for my life? And I tell them, well, first of all, you need to stay in your Bible. Second of all, you need to pray and ask Him. Third, you need to come to church so you can be around other Christians, because sometimes God uses other Christians to reveal His will. And as I mentioned in Open Assembly and Sunday School, sometimes God reveals His will by opening doors, and other times He reveals His will by closing doors. And when He opens the door, we need to go through it, and when He closes the door, we need to keep it closed. But again, if I came to you this morning, and I said to you as an individual, hey, God has revealed something to me. He's revealed His will for your life. Here's what you should do. It would be a big help. Now, there are certain things in the Bible that we can easily discern are the will of God for each of us. Okay? This is not my sermon. Just so you know, I have a very short sermon this morning. Just two little points. The problem is it's going to take me a while to get there, okay? But there are some things in the Bible that are easily discernible as the will of God for every one of our lives. We can discern easily, for example, that it's God's will for everybody to be saved. It's easily discernible. The Bible doesn't come right out and specifically say the will of God for your life is to be saved. There's not a verse in the Bible that says that. But the Bible does say in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible does say that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible does say that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so even though there's not a verse in the Bible that says the will of God for your life, for you, is to be saved, we can discern from the fact that God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, and from the fact that He uses an all-inclusive word like whosoever, that He wants every single person to be saved. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I can tell you without any hesitation, I can tell you without any doubt that the will of God for your life is that you be saved. Is that you admit that you're a sinner and understand there's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus, when He went to the cross, He paid the price of every one of your sins. And if you ask Him this morning, He'll save you. And that is God's will. If you're here and not saved, that is God's will for your life. We can easily discern that. We can easily discern that God's will for the life of every Christian is to study this book. Now again, there's not a verse in the Bible that says the will of God for you is to study the Bible. There's no verse in the Bible that says that. But there is a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's verse 15, where the Bible does say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You listen to me. If the Son of God needed to use the Bible, if Jesus Himself needed to use the Bible to defend Himself against the temptation of Satan, how can we think that we need anything less? When Satan comes to attack, we need that thing that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword to defend ourselves against Satan. And if you're a Christian here this morning, I can tell you without any hesitation, without any doubt at all, that the will of God for your life is that you study His Word. We can easily discern, for example, that the will of God for every Christian here this morning is to come to church. Now again, there's not a verse in the Bible that says the will of God for you is to come to church. Not a verse in the Bible that says that. But there is a verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, it's verse 25, that says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day is approaching. Hey, listen. The day is approaching. Jesus' return is closer than it's ever been. Just go home and get the newspaper and then set it beside your Bible and open up your Bible to the book of Revelation. You read those two together and it won't be long before the signs of the times remind you to lift up your heads and look upward, for your redemption draweth nigh. It won't be long, my dear friend, until we hear the trumpet blow. It won't be long till we hear that loud shout, come up hither. And every Christian will rise to meet him in the air. Those that are dead will rise first. They have further to go. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and will meet the Lord in the air and will be with him forever and ever and ever. And listen, if that day is approaching, then we need a place like this to be exhorted. We need a place like this to be provoked. We need a place like this to encourage us to keep at the things that God has left us to do as Christians. Now, there's other things that are easily discernible as the will of God for our lives. Most of you, if not all of you, would agree with those three that I pointed out. Easily discernible that God wants everybody to be saved. Easily discernible that God wants every Christian to study the Bible. Easily discernible that God wants every Christian to come to church. But some might be saying, well, just wait a minute, preacher. I agree that there are some things that are easily discernible, but does the Bible ever come right out and say, this is the will of God for you? I mean, are there verses in the Bible that come right out and say, hey, this is the will of God for you? I'm glad you ask, because I want to answer that question this morning. I've been doing a little study. Brother Gerald says I haven't preached for a whole week now, not last Sunday, not Wednesday night. He said, I'm looking forward. I said, I am too, Brother Gerald. There's 302 verses in the Bible that have the words will, God, and of. 302 verses that contain all three of those words. Of those 302 verses, there's only 22 that have them as a triplet, will of God. The other ones have will and God and of, but not in that order, will of God. All 22 of those verses that have will of God are in the New Testament. Four of them give examples of others that did things according to the will of God. In Acts chapter 13, verse 36, David served his own generation by the will of God. In Romans 3:27, Jesus makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. In 2 Corinthians 8:5, Paul talks about the Corinthians giving themselves to us, to him and Barnabas, according to the will of God. In Galatians 1:4, and I almost preached on this verse. I mean, I almost changed my sermon when I ran across this verse. Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God. So those four verses all have that phrase, will of God. And it talks about things that other people did according to the will of God. There are five verses in the New Testament that give us instructions how to carry out the will of God. Ephesians 6:6, do the will of God from the heart, Colossians 4:12, stand perfect and complete in the will of God. 1 Peter 3:17, 1 Peter 4:19 said, you will suffer as you do the will of God. And then 1 Peter 4:2 says, live in the will of God. And so there's 9 verses of the 22 we talked about. They have the phrase will of God, but none of them come out and say, hey, the will of God for you is this. There are 2 verses that describe some of the benefits of doing the will of God. In Mark chapter 3, verse 35, Jesus said, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. And then in 1 John 2:17, the Bible says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we do the will of God, we can have a close relationship with Jesus. We'll abide forever. But again, those 2 verses don't have any instruction to us about what the will of God is for us. There's 1 verse in the Bible, many of you know it, that tell us how to prove the will of God for our life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we need to be transformed by renewing our mind, having that mind that was in Christ Jesus, so that we can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Again, another verse that uses the phrase, but doesn't tell us what the will of God is for our life. There are 5 times in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 1:1, 2 Corinthians 1:1, Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:1, and 2 Timothy 1:1, where Paul says, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the will of God. And I believe that the apostle Paul was called by God to what he did. But those 5 verses have no instruction for us. There are 2 times Paul uses that phrase, the will of God, when he was praying for a prosperous journey. He said, I'm praying for a prosperous journey. I'm praying that I can come unto you by the will of God. And so that's 19 of the 22. 19 of the 22, and none of those verses, although they talk about the will of God, none of those verses have any instruction to us. The other 3 come right out and say, this is the will of God for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The will of God is that we live pure lives. That we not get caught up in the worldly, the thing that the world sometimes makes so appealing, and that the world shows on television and movies and say, this is normal. I want to tell you something. What you see on TV and in the movies is not normal. We are trying to be told the lie that what we see on those little screens and on the big screens, oh, this is normal. This is how everybody is. If you read the press, you would think half the population are homosexuals. Do you know that only 3% of the population in the United States is homosexual? And yet we are being fed the line that they are the majority. They are not the majority. They are the minority. And we ought to quit catering to them. We ought to love them. We ought to preach against their sin. It's still an abomination that has not changed because this book has not changed. But we ought to quit catering to them. So God says the will of God is you live a pure life. In 2 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He said, this is second time it says it. This is the will of God. And what God is saying, live your life in such a way that when the world looks at you, that's what it's talking about, the foolish men, all they'll be able to do is keep their mouth shut. Put them to silence. Because if they see you living a godly example before them, they will have nothing to say. What the world talks about is when we as Christians fail and fall and don't live up to the things that God wants us to live up. And so if the Bible says, again, the will of God is for you to do well so that you can put foolish men to silence. And then the third time is the verse we read a moment ago for our text verse. The verse that I want to talk about just real briefly this morning. Again, only one of three in the Bible that says, this is the will of God for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, there are some Christians that think being thankful is optional. There are some Christians that think, well, God doesn't really care whether I'm thankful or not. I hope if you get one thing out of this sermon this morning, you will recall this little Bible study that we've done. And you'll say, hey, it's only three verses in the Bible that talk about the will of God directly, plainly, straightforwardly about my life. And one of them is that in everything, I am supposed to be thankful. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. Holy Spirit's just slapping us up beside the head and said, hey, wake up. I want you to know, I don't want you to have any doubt in your mind. I don't want you to have any hesitation in your mind. God's will for the life of every Christian is that they be thankful in everything. Now quickly, here's my sermon. I want you to notice three things. Number one, it says, in everything. Now, that implies there are going to be some things in our life that happen, and we are going to want to give thanks. And there are going to be other things in our life that happen that we will not want to be thankful for. There will be things in our life that we'll put in the good category, and it'll be easy for us to lift our hearts and voices toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for the blessing. But there will also be bad things in our life where instead of being thankful, we'll look to heaven and we'll say, why, God? Why did you let this happen? I'm sure that each of us, if we could look back over the past week, there were things that happened in our life that we said, hey, I'm so glad that happened. And there were other things that have happened even the past week where we'll say, boy, I wish that never happened. I just wish that it never happened at all. The Bible says that it's the will of God for us that in everything, good and bad, those things we would choose and those things we would not choose, those things we understand and those things we do not understand, those things that we walk willingly into and those things that we would avoid if we could, the Bible says it is the will of God that you give thanks for all of them. All of them. Number two, when we give thanks in everything, what we are saying is this: God, I trust you. I trust you. When we give thanks for everything, what we're saying is, God, I know that you have a plan for my life. I know that you love me. I know that you have the power to work out that plan in my life by allowing things to come in and keeping other things out. I acknowledge that you know better what's best for me than I do. And so even when things come into my life that I cannot understand how they're going to work, even when there's things that come into my life that I would not choose to have in my life if I could choose, even though there are things in my life that I would avoid if I could, I am going to be thankful because I know you're in charge. You're in charge. And again, you love me. And you have a plan for my life, and you have the power to work that plan. And so when things come into my life, again, that I don't want there, that I would choose not to have, I'm going to trust you and say, you know what you're doing. So I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then number three, because I trust him, I'm going to decide to be thankful in everything. In everything. In the open assembly this morning, I love it when God gives me an illustration for my sermon in Sunday school. Right, Kelly? Yeah. When we were in open assembly this morning, we were talking about being thankful. And Shaylin said, you know, preacher, somebody told me that if you do something for 21 days straight, it becomes a habit. Then Jameson added, it takes 28 days for the moon to go around the earth. And I says, what does that have to do with anything? But anyhow, see, with kids, you got to be willing to deflect the stuff that don't mean anything. 21 days. I don't know if it's true or not. Sounds pretty good. If you do something for 21 days straight, it becomes a habit. So I ask all the little kids. These are the kids in first, 4 years old through the sixth grade. Okay? I ask all the little kids. How many of you would be willing, starting today, to find somebody for the next 21 days that you could say thank you to? They all raised their little hands. The adults were there, Kelly and Jeff and Linda and I. We raised our hands. So for the next 21 days, on purpose, we're going to decide that every day we're going to find at least one person that we can say thank you to. Now, Kelly added on. I hate it when people add to my preaching. But Kelly said, hey, you know, we could be thankful to God every day too. I said, that's right. If you can't find a person to thank, you can go to God. And said, that'd be a good thing. Let's find a person to thank every day for the next 21 days, and let's thank God for the next 21 days. Because you see, in a very direct way, one of only three times in the Bible, now stop and think about it, 66 books, thousands of verses, only three times in the Bible does it say, the will of God for you is this. And one of those things, one of those three times, it says, give thanks in everything. In everything. My message to you on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I'm so glad we have a day set aside that we can be thankful to our God for our country, for the freedoms that we have in this country, for the bounty in which he's blessed us. But shame, shame, shame on us if the only day we're thankful is Thanksgiving. And what I think was good for the little ones, I think is good for the big ones. I think it'd be a wonderful thing if each of us decided, starting today, for the next 21 days, I'm going to thank somebody, another person in my life, for something they did to me. And I'm going to thank God for the good and the bad, for the things I like and the things I don't like, for the things I would walk into willingly, for the things that I would avoid if I could. I'm going to thank God in everything because I trust him. I trust him. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted him for your salvation, look, the overriding will of God for your life is that you get saved. I can say it without a doubt. Even though there's not a verse in the Bible, I can say it without a doubt. His will for your life is that you come to Jesus Christ. You can do that this morning. Just a second, we're going to sing an invitation song. If you walk down the aisle, I'll have somebody take the Bible, show you from that book how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Would you do it this morning? Would you if you're here and you don't know Christ? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it has for us. I pray we would be a thankful people in all things. In all things. In everything. And Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Christ. Father, I don't know how they can face this world and the things that are happening in this world without him. And so I pray they would not go another day without coming to Jesus and asking him to save them. I pray they do it right now. Help them to see they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That's to be separated from you. But Christ paid the price. He offers life, eternal life, to every person that would come to him and ask him to save them. And so if there's one or two or however many's here this morning that's never done that, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would woo them to the Savior this morning. Bring them to Jesus. And we'll give him all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.